Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
2020, a little bit of everything and a little bit more.
It has. I think it's a year to forget for a lot of people. And I think especially here in the Northwest, where you've had to deal with the coronavirus more than anywhere else in the state. So let's look forward to a much better 2021.
It's been challenging for a lot of businesses, but it's also been a big challenge for our tourism industry and also the hospitality industry that have really found COVID path forward. That's what we're looking for now.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it has been a really tough year for them. They were some of the first hit and hardest hit. A lot of job losses, and some of those jobs still haven't come back. So we do need to think about what we can do to support them. We're so fortunate to have those two ships come in and out of the Northwest here, making sure we can activate them. And one of the things we'd love to see is the passenger vehicle equalisation scheme just supported a little bit more from Canberra. Obviously, there were 6 months there where they didn't have to spend a cent. So let's use that money to make the cost of bringing a car to Tasmania free. We know that we've got a shortage of hire cars, which is limiting those travellers travelling around our state. We're hearing some cancellations. So let's help people bring their car across, travel around, support the sector, as well as thinking about how we can motivate Tasmanians to get out. So the travel vouchers were great, but there's going to be some money left unspent from that. Our view is some of that should go into a third round to support the sector, and especially think about how we can support food and dining because they missed out the first time.
Yeah, make yourself at home voucher fantastic, but there is a but in there though. Portion of the, $12.5 million had not been redeemed.
That's right. So at last count, the Premier said about half of that money had been redeemed, and that was a couple of weeks out from the end of November. So we expect that about $8 or $9 million is probably going to be redeemed, which does leave a few million dollars that could go back to a third round of vouchers. We know how much people love them. There was a bit of angst, obviously, with the website crashing because so many people wanted one. But the people who got them certainly took advantage of that. But let's think about how we can support our food and hospitality businesses, which are a key part of our visitor economy, not just about accommodation, not just about experiences, but it's also about the customer service, the great food, great dining, and help those businesses out too. I understand that a lot of people are coming home from the mainland for Christmas. So the feedback we're getting is that December's looking quite good. It's what happens next year. So January into the shoulder seasons in, you know, April, and particularly with JobKeeper ending in March, there are some businesses who are quite nervous about what that means for the workforce they've been able to keep on, but also their viability. So we do need to do what we can to support the tourism sector and the hospitality sector, because they're not through the tough times just yet. It's likely to get a little bit difficult for them again in the new year. So we do need to think about what other programs we can put in place to make sure we can keep workers employed and keep those doors of those businesses open.
JobKeeper, JobSeeker, it's been fantastic for this year, but now we want to know what happens next, because we've got to look forward, not look back. And 2021 will be on our doorstep within a couple of weeks.
It sure will. And I think a lot of people will look forward to that. But for some people, bringing in the new year is going to be a bit apprehensive, because you're quite right. The coronavirus supplement gets cut from the start of January. And JobKeeper payments reduce at the start of January too, and then, of course, end in March. So I think people have mixed feelings going into the new year. There will be some people who are dependent on those payments to keep food on the table who are feeling a bit nervous.
On the streets, and that's what they're telling you. They're just a little bit conservative, just to see what happens next.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are out before Christmas, which is good to see. And you can see that in the city. People are shopping and supporting local businesses, which is really exciting. It's what happens after that. And there are people who are a little bit nervous, and there's still concern about what the virus might do in Australia before a vaccination is rolled out. Then we still have to be really careful about how we interact daily and be mindful of the fact that coronavirus is still in existence in our country, despite how fantastic we've all done. So the feedback we're getting is that people are hopeful. There's certainly a degree of optimism, because this year's been pretty ordinary, and I think a lot of people just really want it to get better. So I can certainly feel that in the community, but then there's the reality of what does that look like? And I suppose that's our responsibility as leaders and as politicians to support people through that next transition phase and really support our community to recover both socially and economically.
Yesterday on Aaron's show on Taz Talks, he has the Prime Minister Scott Morrison on the program, and they spoke about Mariners Link. So I'd just like to hear your thoughts on how important that is to Tasmania, because it's all about delivering low-cost, reliable, clean electricity. I suppose the big question here, living in Tasmania, who's going to pay for this thing?
That is the big question. There's been a lot of fanfare around Marinus Link, but the big question that still remains unanswered is who pays, and we now understand it's a $3.5 billion project, and who owns it? So these are really important questions to understand the answers to, because the Tasmanian taxpayer can't be expected to foot that bill. Arguably, it'll be the mainland that benefits. And this is the other question that needs to be resolved by the federal government too, is what does the energy policy framework look like?
Mm.
Because unless there's a clear commitment to renewable energy and decarbonising our economy, we're going to continue to see investments in coal and gas, which undermine the viability of a Marinus Link project and all of the other investment that we could see here in Tasmania to support the jobs that come from those projects. Marinus Link is still a long way off, so it's a 2028 start date. So even with all of the announcements now, it's not a COVID recovery project. We're not going to see those jobs anytime soon.
It has a profound impact, doesn't it, delivering those jobs for a decade, you know?
That's right. Yeah. It's some way off into the future. But still, the biggest question that has to be answered is who's going to pay that $3.5 billion and who's going to own it? Is it going to be a taxpayer-funded asset that we'll own and potentially gain benefit from, or is it going to be privatised? They're big questions and important questions that have to be asked and answered by the government. They've signed an MOU. Our expectation was at the signing of the MOU, those questions would all be resolved, and they haven't been, because the Tasmanian consumer needs to be reassured that their electricity prices won't go up as a result of the government signing up to this deal.
Can affect us any time of the year, let alone out of a COVID year.
That's right, and a lot of people have felt the impact because they've been at home. So their power prices, their power bills have gone up because they've done the right thing and stayed home. We'd called on the government to provide a winter energy supplement to support people through. Other states have done that, with significant concessions being offered. The Tasmanian government didn't. And in fact, we just heard yesterday that RORA, of the $5 million they'd made available for hardship grants, only $1 million has been handed out. So there's still $4 million available. So if people are listening and you've got a high power bill and you're wondering how you're going to pay it, please get in touch with RORA and see if they can support you to waive some of those costs, because there is money that's been made available. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been well communicated.
And Rebecca, the federal government announced that $1 billion on infrastructure around it in the budget. There's still questions there too, isn't there, for the state?
That's right. I mean, the government said we're going to build our way out of COVID, and they've allocated $1 billion this year for infrastructure projects. Now, we got an update earlier this week about how much has been spent in the first quarter of the financial year. It's less than $100 million. In fact, we spent less this financial year to date compared to last year. So there's very serious concerns that we're going to be able to get $1 billion of work out the door this financial year. We raised concerns about that because last financial year the government only delivered $500 million work of infrastructure projects. So it's a significant increase on what they've delivered in the past, and they've routinely under-delivered. So I don't know if that's really, truly a pathway out of COVID, is to build our way out, because they really haven't got a good track record of actually delivering on that. Sounds good, but you've really got to get on with the job.
Let's get to some more light stuff just to wrap things up this morning. Spare time, I suppose, you'll be spending it over Christmas, New Year. You'll get to see the family.
Yeah, we will. And I think a lot of Tasmanians this year will be enjoying that more than ever before. I know I'm looking forward to seeing family who are coming back to Tassie from Victoria, who we haven't been able to see at all this year.
Mm.
And that'll be really nice to catch up at Christmas time and get together, and just to be able to relax and do that in a way where we feel safe. We're so lucky, aren't we, in Tassie?
Absolutely, yes.
To be able to gather together and to enjoy Christmas together.
What about sport? Do you love your sport?
I do. Do you know one of the best things about summer is cricket? And for me, it brings back a lot of childhood memories of watching test matches with the family. For me, it's synonymous with Christmas as well. We used to always, every single Christmas afternoon, get out in the backyard and play a bit of cricket. So that's another thing I really love about summer in Australia.
The Boxing Day test match, isn't it? The MCG, day one, the old days for us showing our age. Channel 9 with Bill Laurie and the commentary team. You knew that summer was on when cricket was on the telly.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, Richie Beno.
Yes, the late and truly great.
That's right.
Beatles or Rolling Stones when it comes to music?
I'm a bit more of a fan of the Rolling Stones.
Are you really?
And that's really because of my parents' influence and the sort of songs we listened to when we were growing up. Angels and the Eagles and those sorts of bands featured a lot more in our house than the Beatles.
Oh, all the stuff that we play. Rebecca White, State Labor Leader, you have a great Christmas and all the best for 2021. Thank you very much for your time. Do take care and we'll see you in
Thank
the
you
new
so
year.
Much.
Let's hope it looks a little bit better than 2020.
Let's hope so. Merry Christmas, everybody.